For the presidential campaigns tomorrow, Super Tuesday is a colossal management challenge. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's one thing to hop around at Iowa or a New Hampshire, but the challenge tomorrow is a campaign battlefield stretching from Texas, Georgia, and Tennessee to Minnesota to Massachusetts. That's the logistical challenge of this vast geography. And more delegates are at stake tomorrow than in any other single day of the nomination period. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson looks at how campaigns have scaled up and spread out.
We're talking campaign planes rather than buses now. Lots more strategizing and prioritizing, much like trying to suddenly scale a business.
At the early days, when it's a small group, everybody knows everybody, lines of communication are clear.
Stuart Thornhill is a professor of entrepreneurship at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business.
You know, as it scales and goes from 10 to 50 to 100 to 1,000 people, it becomes like that broken telephone game. And managing the complexity of that is just as difficult for a retailer or a service provider as it is for a political operator.
You really have to think, where is our opportunity? What's going to be cost efficient? Where can we get voters?
Toby Berkovitz spent 3 decades as a political media consultant. He says as campaigns are expanding, they also have to watch and react to their competitors.
Sometimes campaigns aren't both going after the exact same territory.
Even as they're scaling up, Berkovitz says candidates may need to scale back to better use resources elsewhere. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
It wasn't that long ago that China was tweaking its banking rules to rein in risky lending. Now China's going the other way, letting banks lower the amount of money they have to keep on hand compared to the loans they make. For some context here, let's turn to Shanghai, where we find Sean Ryan, the managing director of the China Market Research Group.
There's some big concerns in China's economy. We're expecting 6.5% growth this year, which will be the lowest in the last 25 years in the country. But very importantly, the government's getting concerned about unemployment. They announced today that 1.8 million people will lose their jobs in the steel and coal sectors alone this year. So the government is reducing its reserve ratio requirements for banks to try to pump more liquidity into the system to try to offset the unemployment and general economic malaise hitting the country.
So an economic stimulus play. But I also understand there is a sense that the Chinese currency is drifting downward or will drift downward, a devaluation. This altering of the reserve requirements can keep some cash in China?
Exactly. The renminbi, or the Chinese yuan, has been losing its luster amongst investors in China. In December and January of this year, they transferred $100 million U.S. dollars out every single month for about a total of $1 trillion over the last 13 months. So by lowering the reserve ratio requirements, the government is hoping that more Chinese will try to take out loans here and help them generate better profit margins. So there is a real issue about capital outflows and a continued depreciation of the renminbi, which is why the government has so strongly this week said that there won't be any more depreciation because they're trying to kill some of the speculators and short sellers who are betting on continued economic weakness in China.
Sean Ryan at China Market Research Group in Shanghai is also the author of the book, The End of Copycat China. Sean, always good to talk to you.
Always good speaking with you, David. Thank you.
In fact, the Chinese currency is dropping more today, down 0.2%. A dollar buys 6.55 renminbi and change. Stocks, the 100 share index is down 0.2% in London. The DAX in Germany down 1.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures have turned down by 0.3% or more, as if the Dow were down 48 points. By now, you should have received your W-2 forms reporting your income last year, and we've entered the season of receipts and tax forms, especially for those who expect a refund and want it ASAP. You should know that tax preparers are in many ways unregulated. Some preparers have gotten into trouble. The Justice Department wants to shut down a Liberty Tax franchise in South Carolina, and Maryland's controller won't process returns from more than 20 preparers. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has more on that story.
31-year-old Megan Martinez is the kind of person who reads something thoroughly before she signs it. This year, she had Liberty Tax Service do her taxes, going to a Liberty office near her home in Raleigh, North Carolina. Martinez found a mistake on her return.
I realized that the entire cost of goods section on the Schedule C was blank.
Let me translate. The cost of goods is what, say, retailers spend on their inventory. Martinez sells stuff on eBay, and she says she spent more than $21,000 on inventory last year. Martinez says after the mistake was corrected, she got a refund, but her Liberty tax preparer charged her $90 more because an extra form was used.
She's like, oh, no, you don't owe me anything additional. We'll just take it out of your refund. I'm thinking, but that's still my money. But they make you feel like it's play money or something.
In all, Martinez ended up paying Liberty Tax $198 in real money. Liberty Tax General Counsel and Chief Compliance Officer Jim Wheaton can't comment on specific cases, but he did tell me it's hard for Liberty to discipline people working in their local offices because almost all of them are franchises.
Well, they're not our employee, and so we don't have the ability to order the employee to be fired.
Liberty can report preparers to the IRS. Wheaton says several years ago, the IRS tried to implement testing and registration requirements for tax preparers, but federal courts ruled it didn't have that power. Chi-Chi Wu is a staff attorney at the National Consumer Law Center. She says the courts left a vacuum.
It allows a culture of errors and sometimes even fraud to flourish.
Wu says some Liberty Tax Service franchises are accused of making up expenses and deductions. Liberty's Jim Wheaton says those allegations involve less than 1% of Liberty's tax preparers, and he says he would welcome more IRS supervision. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And a Kohl's to Newcastle item to end now. Guess what's opening in Milan, Italy for the first time? A Starbucks. You see, Starbucks founder Howard Schultz got the idea for his chain by observing baristas at work in Italian cafes. The Milan Starbucks will open in 2017, next year, a fulfillment of a 30-year dream, Schultz is quoted as saying. Now, here's a Brancaccio travel tip. If you go to a real cafe in Italy, stand up at the bar. Don't sit down. It's often way cheaper. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.